Good morning, everyone. Very thankful to be back home. I appreciate the privilege and opportunity to have gone to Monarch to be with quite a few of the Lord's people. And I'm thankful to be home again, safe, in the blessings of the Lord. Desire your prayers today. I've had this on my heart for some time. I feel like this would be the time the Lord would have us to deliver our hearts. I'd like for us to turn, seems like our beginning always comes from Genesis. I'd like for us to turn to the third chapter of Genesis. And I want to read just a few, two or three verses here. We have sin today in the world because Adam and Eve were disobedient, plunged the world into sin. But we have some other things that we deal with. You know, you hear people sometimes say, well, I don't understand why that happened. I don't understand why this happened. But I want to tell you something this morning. Everything that happens in this world, everything that happens to you in life, you can find the reasons for it or the answers to your questions right here in the Word of God. No matter what it is, you can find the reason or the answers for it right here in the Word of God. I want to just read... pick it up here after Adam and Eve had done their wrong and God had put them out of the garden. He was he administered a punishment to them. There was some punishment that came from disobedience, and always does and always will. God is faithful to do that. He's faithful to carry it out, carry it through. So he speaks to the woman here in the 16th verse. And he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now the Lord said, I told you not to eat of it. And because you ate of it, he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I want to talk for just a little bit this morning about living with thorns. Thorns. You all know what a thorn is? Have you ever been stuck by one of them? You know the rose plant, has some beautiful blossoms, beautiful flowers on it, doesn't it? But I'll tell you, I've been stuck by the thorns that's on that flower. The thorns that come with the beauty that we have in an experience in life, there's still thorns along the way. Have you ever walked through, some of us, especially that maybe have lived out in the country on a farm, and walk through a field that has those little plants in it that's got the burrs that when after you get through there, you come out and you look down and you got these things sticking all over the side of your skirt or your pants or whatever it might be. They're little burrs that just reach out and they attach themselves to you. They're sticky. And you know what? They hurt. whenever they come upon the skin. It hurts. Thorns hurt, don't they? They're painful. And I want us to consider this morning that there are thorns in this life. There's people that are facing all kinds of sorrows and heartaches and sadness. I told my wife when I got home, I said, I heard some of the saddest and most sorrowful requests that were put in there at Monarch. People have a lot of burdens. They're faced with a lot of difficulties. They're faced with a lot of sadness and trials in life. And the Lord put this on Adam, and he said, thorns and thistles, they're going to come your way. We know we're going to have them, but thank the Lord, because of Jesus Christ, we can still blossom as the rose. And we can still be encouraged to know that when those things come, we have the promises that God said He'd be a very present help in every time of trouble. And we can hold Him to that, can't we? Because it's a promise of God. Sometimes, as we go down the path of life, we might feel like that we're kind of magnets when it comes to thorns. Seems like, I hear people say, how's come I go through so much difficulty? How come I have so many hurts and so many sorrows in my life? But I tell you, we can be grateful, and we are. We're grateful for the good times and the bad times. Isn't that what Job said? You know, we bless God when the good times were here. Why would I curse God because He's allowed the bad times to come along the way? It's just a part of life, isn't it? It's just, life is imperfect. We don't live in the Garden of Eden here in this world anymore. The garden is now within us, isn't it? It's in our hearts. It's in our bosom. That's where the garden is, and it's been transplanted by Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life. But our expectations, we all have those expectations, don't we? Folks, sometimes they cause disappointments. Our greatest expectations sometimes, and if we put our expectations in people, I'll tell you, many times you're going to be disappointed. Many times they're going to let you down. But I'm glad this morning that we can put our expectations in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we can look to Him. He's our hope. As we heard this morning, He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our righteousness that we have. But nevertheless, in this flesh and in this life, folks, you're going to experience thorns. You're going to experience the thistles and the thorns. And so we might as well, if I can say it this way, just suck it up and realize that we're going to have those kind of things come along. I remember 46 years ago. I remember 46 years ago, wife and I will soon be married 47. We were set to have our first child in September. First child. It died 2 weeks before it was born. And it was born stillborn, and she carried it 2 weeks after that. That was a hard thing. It was a thorn. It brought a lot of sorrow, and it brought a lot of sadness. And when those kind of things come in your life, you don't know how to deal with them. You don't understand it all. You know, the hurts are there. The pain goes very deep sometimes. Those thorns can go very deep into your bosom. And it brings about questions and why, Lord, this and why, Lord, that. I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. But I know and still believe that God does all things well, don't you? I believe God knows what He's doing. I believe He's sovereign. And He does what He will in the affairs and in the lives of man. You know, not only people will disappoint us, not only the heartaches and sorrows that come along, and as you get older, and some of us, and I've told you here that the Lord's given me a burden for the saints that have older children. Our older children can make us very sad. They can disappoint us greatly. And you know, you can put your hopes and your desires in things, and things will disappoint you too. I remember, you remember probably, I've talked about the boat that I had. I really wanted a boat real bad, and I wanted to be able to go out on the lake and take the children. I taught most of them how to water ski and those kind of things. They learned how to do those kind of things. But, oh, did we have a lot of trouble with the boat. It was a thorn in my side. And it gave me a lot of trouble. It cost me more money than it was really worth to me. And it disappointed me in very many ways. In reality, the things that you hope for, if they're not within the realms of Jesus Christ and His will for you, you're going to probably find out the things that you were hoping for don't turn out the way that you thought they were going to turn out. They're going to disappoint you, and they're going to let you down. But you and I still must go on with life. We have to learn how to cope with those things. And God has given us a way that we can cope with life. We can cope with the thorns and the hard places that come in our lives. One of the ways that we do that is to continually guard against what we allow to fester in our hearts. Continually guard your heart. When you've been hurt, when the thorns have been stuck in you, guard what you allow to fester. Guard the thoughts. When the enemy comes in and he wants to paint his darkness and he wants to paint his pictures and he wants to tell you how bad that person treated you or how bad that thing was, guard those kind of thoughts, folks. Don't let those things fester and become something that will bring you down. Something that will destroy you and get you discouraged. The Bible tells us, this is a good lesson for all of us to remember. The Bible tells us that our foes are they of our own household. So I want to dwell on that for just a minute about when we talk about thorns and thistles. No one can hurt you and I as deeply as our loved ones. Husbands and wives can hurt each other very deeply, just with words and actions. We can hurt one another, can't we? Oh, we can come back later and say, oh, I am so sorry, which is what we ought to do. But folks, the hurt's already there. The words have already been said, and they're very hard for anyone to forget. But not only do our families hurt one another, but folks, it takes right on down to the friends that we might have. The hurts come from parents. It can come from children. It can come from your wife or from your husband. And yet the human world, the human existence that you and I have today is built around relationships. We all have relationships. We want to have relationships. We have relationships in the church with our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. We have relationships. But folks, if we're not careful, the enemy will make an inroad and he will try to bring strife and trouble and thorns in between our relationships right here. Even in our own congregation, God help us and God forbid that those kind of things happen to us. I want to tell you, I want to give you some food for thought this morning about people. As the years go by, people change. I think we all know that. Sometimes, and I've learned in my life, that I can look at someone that I've known for years, and in my mind I question, who are they? Have you ever heard the saying, who are you and what did you do with so-and-so? You're that person? Who are you? What changed you? Thorns come along. Briars and thistles come along, folks, in our lives. And it brings about disappointments. It causes you and I to be disappointed. And when people get disappointed, they change. When people struggle with hardships and difficult places in life, they change. I've noticed that the things that were once important to both in the relationship are no longer viewed the same way. Have you ever found that to be so? The things that you husband and wives in particular, the things that you've developed, the things that you have worked on through your life, the things that have brought you deeper together, that have brought a communion between you and your companion. Sometimes, folks, the things that were once important, we change in what's really important. Back in my younger days of our marriage, the boat, the things were important. Vacations were important. We had some very, what I would call, elaborate vacations with our children and without our children. Those things were important. But those things are not important anymore. See, life has a way of changing us. Especially as we get older, we realize that it's time to set your affections on things above and not on the things of this old earth. So we change. Changes cause hurts. Changes causes us to question. And say, well, I just don't understand the whys and the wherefores. You begin to see things in a relationship that you never saw before. Do you know, I've seen people. You have too. People that become mean-spirited. You know, I've often wondered, I've seen people in public places, grown men, old men. I've seen grown old women in public places and in different circumstances in life. Some of them don't grow old very gracefully. Did you notice that? Some of them get kind of mean-spirited. Some of them just get downright hateful in the way that they'll treat you or treat one another. I've seen that. And I've also noticed this, and we'll throw this in. I've seen an awful lot of old folks that seem to get a little nosy worrying about everybody else, trying to bring them in their own realm and control them. Lord, help us now today. Folks, there's thorns. There's briars and thistles that we all deal with through life. People that get disappointed a lot. And people that have been hurt a lot. It comes down to where they get downright hateful and they don't even seem to care anymore what anybody thinks or what anybody says. I'm talking about reality of life here, aren't I? You know what I'm talking about. But life has a way of throwing things at us that causes you and I to change. And Lord, help us that He would sweeten us with the Spirit of God. Sweeten us with honey from the rock. Keep us sweet in our spirit, sweet in our souls, folks, because we're going to have to work at this thing because there isn't one of us here that haven't faced the thorns and haven't faced the thistles and the things that come at us in life. We've all faced them. Lord, help you and I. Help us, Lord, to work at those things. Do you know the proverb says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. People lose the will to live because they say, I just can't take it anymore. These darts, these pains that I'm suffering, the hurts that have been unloaded on me, I can't take it anymore. And by sorrow of my heart, the spirit is broken. You know what happens when the spirit is broken? We begin to see things differently. We begin to see things. We go from positive to negative. We begin to see things from a negative point of view, folks. The self in every one of us hinders us from the total commitment and allegiance to the idea that our vow that we made with companions or that we might have made with loved ones and our children and so forth, the vow we made for the other person in the relationship, now all of a sudden is all about me and nothing about them. When you make a vow with someone, a covenant, as God made with you and I, He made it through His Son, didn't He? Jesus did it for our benefit. Your relationship and the vows that you make with one another, folks, is for the benefit of the other person. But as life comes along with hardships and trials and changes the way we look at things, and if we allow ourselves to become negative, folks, we live in a negative world. We've got to fight this thing. Got to fight it off. Got to fight the enemy. Because this old world is so negative. It's always looking at things through cross eyes, so to speak. Not looking at things in the right way. Lord, help you and I that we'll look things in a positive way. The self in us hinders our relationship. And we forget what our commitment was. Not only to one another, folks, but this works spiritually too. Our covenant that we made with God. The consecration that we made with God. Folks, do you realize that we can let the temporal things that come against you and I in this flesh cause us to draw away from God spiritually? Can cause you and I to see God in a different light? Lord, help us this morning to be very careful in how we walk in this. I want to give you just verses here of Scripture to prove, to impress upon you what I'm trying to say here this morning. The psalmist in Psalms 42:6, he said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." Now, how do you think he got there? Did it happen overnight? No, it was because of the thorns and the thistles. "Oh my God," he said, "my soul is cast down within me." Jeremiah 15:10 said, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth." Sometimes we feel like such a failure. Sometimes I've heard people say, "I wish I'd have never been born. I wish I'd have never done this, and I wish I'd have never done that." It's best to submit to the will of God in every part and every portion of your life. That's the best thing to do. Because it's through His wisdom and through His understanding that's going to get you and I to heaven if we'll trust in Him. Job 10:1. He said, "My soul is weary of my life." Can you comprehend what he's saying here? My soul, I mean, this thing goes down deep. I've been hurt. I've been saddened. You read the book of Job, you know what happened to him. And you know the questions that arose out of that book. Trying to understand God a little bit better. Trying to understand life. Do you really understand life? Do you want to understand life? Folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, the hardships and the things that you face in life will change you and have an effect on you. Right down to the very depth of your soul. "My soul is weary of my life," he said. Remember Moses? When he was going through the strain and the stress. Do you have any stress in your life? If you don't, just wait till tomorrow. You'll have some. We all have stress. Stress is hard on the flesh. It's hard on the body. It's hard on your organs. Brother said he was tired this morning. We're all tired. It's time. It's the time of the life that we're all in. It's the world that we live in. There's so much pressure put on you, much responsibility put on you. There's duty put on you. Well, no matter what it might be, we all have responsibility, and we feel that pressure, don't we? "My soul is weary of my life," he said. Well, you know, Moses felt that pressure too. Moses, type of Christ. And he was a man of God. God called him and he used him mightily, didn't he? To deliver his children out of bondage. Here's what Moses said in Numbers 11:15. He got down to the place where he called on God and he said, "If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight." Isn't that something? Sometimes we look back upon the old patriarchs. We marvel of how successful they were. We marvel how God used them. Folks, let me tell you, the devil used the same tactics on them that he uses on you and I today. Same ones. He hasn't changed all down through the years. He used the same thing on them. That's what Moses said. "If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. If you love me, just take my life. Because I can't go anymore. I can't go any farther." You ever felt that way? Oh, folks, I have. Probably will again. Can't go any farther. Lord, I can't bear this anymore. It's too great for me. And then Moses said, and let me not see thy wretchedness. Do you feel the despair in these fellow souls? The despair? What caused them to get to that place? The pressures of life. The thorns, the briars, and the thistles that you and I have to deal with as we go through this world. Wasn't it Elijah? After he had done all that he had done over there, called fire down from heaven and Jezebel put a contract out on him and he ran for his life and he said, and he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, take my life. That's despair, folks. That's what the pressures of life can do. And I don't want to see us get down under the weight and the load of those things to where we come to these places. But I want us, when we get down under the load and the pressure of these things, that it will cause us to draw near to God. Draw nigh to God, he said, and he will draw nigh to you. That will cause you to lean on him hard and trust him. And believe that everything that he allows to come in your life will be for your benefit and your spiritual good if you let it be so. And I believe that this morning. Proverbs, the 15th chapter. I'd like to read this one. Proverbs 15 and 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I know people, folks, that went into depression a long time ago and are still depressed today. The sorrow of the heart, the things of this world, folks, brings a depression. Causes your spirit to be sorrowful. Cause you to look at life in a negative way. Cause you to get down. The devil would like nothing. Do you believe that your salvation was meant for you to enjoy? I do. But the devil would like nothing better to get you and I in a place where we have no joy. Where we have no peace. He would love to do that to every one of us. He does it to the world. But I thank God this morning that we have a recourse. That we can take our burdens and cast our cares upon Him. That's what He told us, isn't it? He said here, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart. Seems to be a fine line between the two. A merry heart and sad heart, sorrow of the heart. How quickly can sad news come? Bad news can come pretty quickly, can't it? I hope it doesn't happen, but someone may get some bad news before they leave this service today. But it comes very quickly. And you go from happy to sorrowful. And he tells us here, the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Folks, you work on that. I challenge you to resist when the enemy wants to come in and break your heart and break your spirit and get you down under a burden where you are despondent and discouraged. That's no place to be. It's no place for God's children, folks. We have a heritage that's richer and it's greater than all of that. And Lord, help us to take advantage of what God has made for you and I. When these things come in our life, folks, we've got to continue. Folks, we got to continue to be faithful just as Moses did. Oh, he was in despair. Job was in despair. And they cried out and they said, Lord this and Lord that. But folks, they still stayed faithful. And they did what God was requiring them and asking them to do. In other words, you're going to take the blows. We're all going to take the blows. I look at a sister here that's had a lot of blows. She's not the only one. We've all had a lot of blows. But you know what you do with the blows? If it knocks you down, you get up. and you keep on going. You keep on going. And you trust God. And you look to Him for your strength and for your grace. You know, I want to bring this in my little message this morning. The devil loves, especially those of us that was out in sin for a long time and have a troubled past. Those of us that went away from God and did things that we shouldn't have done. The devil loves to come along and trouble you. That can be a thorn to you. But Paul said, forget those things that are behind, didn't he? Folks, I can imagine there were some things, can't you, that Paul wanted to forget? Don't you think he would have loved to have been able to forget how he persecuted the church? Maybe those faces that he held and brought them back in and put them in prison. Maybe he saw some of those people, men and women, that he had put in prison. He'd love to forget the things that are behind. Folks, that's what we've got to do. Once I have consecrated, once I've got my forgiveness from the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Forget those things that are behind. Pressing forward. It's a pressing life, isn't it? Why? Because of the thorns and the thistles. We got to press beyond those things, folks. The thorns and the thistles that come our way in life. The devil, he has done it, and he will again, beat up many people with their past. He'll beat you up with it. He'll accuse you of it. He is an accuser of the brethren, isn't he? But if we've cleared ourselves up before God, and we know that He's forgiven us, we need to forgive too, don't we? If I've asked God to forgive me, I need to forgive me too. You know, that's easier said than done. I understand that. But God has grace for you and I to forgive ourselves. And to learn to trust and have faith in God. That it's all under the blood. When you've done everything God has told you to do, stand still. Just stand still. Now I want to look at a scripture. It's found in the book of Luke. I think it's the 8th chapter. I didn't even write it down. Yes. I want us to consider something this morning to go along with these thorns. If you're trying to live saved, now listen, if you're endeavoring to live saved and you want to make heaven your home, other than the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ Himself, your best friend, your greatest strength in your life is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. If you need something to stand on, you'll find it in the Word of God. If you need something to answer your question, you'll find it in the Word of God. The Word of God, remember this, is your best friend. Love it with all of your heart. Apply it, every bit of it, to every area of your life as God leads you. As God guides you and as He directs you in your life, apply the Word of God and have a great love for it. Because folks, people today are falling out of love. They're falling out of love with the Word of God. Lord, help us. Now, this is an individual thing. We can talk about the church, and I love the church dearly. But this is an individual thing I'm talking about. And if you want to be a blessing to the church, and you want to see the church prosper, and you want to see the church have power, and you want to see the glory of God come down and be in our midst, love the Word of God with all your heart. Read it. Let it be your resource in life, the Word of God. Now, come down to the scripture that I'd like for us to read. Folks, it's how we receive it. And it's how we perceive it that is of utmost importance to our souls in the success that we are going to be in living for the Lord. Verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow. How many times have you read this? How many times have you heard a message on it? I'm not giving you anything new, but I'm going to try, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to endeavor to stir up your pure minds, as Peter said. Because we need our minds stirred up from time to time. People are so forgetful today. I being one of the greatest. A sower went out to sow a seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see not, they might not see, and hearing they may not understand." The parable is this. The seed, of course, is the Word of God. Love it with all of your heart, folks. Learn how to apply it in every aspect of your life. Learn how to apply it. Learn what you need that will give you strength and minister grace to your soul in your times of briars and thistles, in your times of heartaches and sorrows, when the sad news and the bad news and the things that are troublesome in this life come your way. Learn how to apply the Word of God. He said, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns, some of the word even falls among the thorns, doesn't it? Are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Jesus here speaking to you and I of four different types of soil. It's time for you and I to plow, to turn up this fertile ground within our hearts, to have it conditioned in such a way that when we hear the Word, when we read the Word, when the Holy Spirit speaks the Word to our heart, that it will find good soil in order to find a place to grow and a place to develop. Now the first one, the wayside, are the people that are unresponsive to the Word of God. They don't respond to the Word that's been sown, and the devil quickly removes it, lest they be saved, he said. Have you ever seen that happen? Oh, I've seen it happen time and again. I've seen people come to the altar, and when they got up, they had a big smile on their face, and it appeared that the Lord had really blessed and done something special, and never see them come back to service again. Because it was sown by the wayside. There was no real depth to it. Lord, help us to have some depth to us as we receive the Word of God. The second one is those that where the seed was sown on stony ground. Stony ground. Those people are impulsive people. Impulsive. They do things impulsively. Sometimes they don't even give any thought about what they're doing, why they're doing it. But they're just impulsive. They just do it my wife says, little boys get something in their mind, they just do it. Well, I've tried to explain to her from what I see, little girls do that too. We're human. But he's talking about people that are impulsive. They live life by impulse. If I could say it another way, flying by the seat of their pants. Don't have any real thought to it. Don't have any real depth to it. The stony ground. They fail to count the cost. Jesus even told us about that. Lord, help you and I as we hear the Word of God from time to time. As God deals with our hearts, let's count the cost and realize what it's going to take to go through the thorns and the thistles and the briars. Because it's going to take something. It's going to take something. It's going to take courage. It's going to take grace. It's going to take strength. It's going to take determination. It's going to take something. Folks, if you're really not serious, if you're really not serious about your salvation, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. We've got to be serious about this. There's got to be, people today are so shallow. There's no depth to people today. Lord, help you and I as the Word is sown in our hearts to break up this stony ground. Because the ground's stony, there's no root. There's no spiritual depth in them. And they believe for a while. But he said when they're persecuted, the rejection of the Word is about as speedy as their reception of it. They reject it about as quickly as they received it. It's because of the heart. See, Jesus brought all this about to you and I, but it's a heart thing. How's your heart? And it's up to you and I individually to get that soil. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, he said. Break up the fallow ground. That's something we got to do. God will give us help and give us grace if we ask Him for it. But folks, we've got to make sure that the heart is good fertile soil for the Word to be sown in. Then the thorns. Some are sown among thorns. You know what the thorns are? People that are preoccupied with other things in life. Minds preoccupied. We was talking about that the other day. You know there's people, have you ever talked to someone, have a conversation with someone, and you're looking right at them and you know that while you're talking they're not listening? But they're formulating in their mind what they're going to say next. Not listening to a word you're really saying. And consequently, they don't get a hold of it. If you're trying to teach them something, they're not going to get anything. Because they're thinking about their thoughts. They're preoccupied in their own minds. That's what thorns will do, folks. People that will allow legitimate. There are legitimate cares of the world, isn't there? There's legitimate cares of life. Things that we definitely have to deal with. Things that we have to take care of. All in our different areas of our ages and what we have to deal with. There's legitimate things that have to be taken care of. They allow those things, whether legitimate. And then he mentions the illegitimate. Illegitimate matters of life. Like the riches and the cares of life and the lust of other things. Jesus speaks here. The cares, the riches, the pleasures of life that bring no fruit to perfection because we allow them to take priority over the gospel itself. We allow them to take priority over the Word of God. We allow them to rule us. And take priority in our life. Lord, help us today. We can only be successful. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are, intelligent you are. You can only be successful as you follow the Lord and His Word by His Spirit. It's the only way you're going to make it. You will not make heaven through your intelligence. You will not make heaven through your human reasoning and human understanding. It will take the Word of God and the Spirit of God to get us there, folks. That's what it'll take. They allow the riches and the lust of things to take priority over the Word of God. So we can look in this little mirror this morning and we can say, Lord, what kind of soil do I have? Is maybe my problem of not being able to get rooted and grounded and settled, which was Paul's burden, part of my problem because I don't have the proper soil? Because the Word of God is not going deep enough? Because I'm not allowing you to take a little trip through my heart to the corners and the recesses of my heart to find out what's really there? You know that little song, there's a place in my heart that I'm not willing to go? Lord, help us today. If you have a place in your heart that you're not willing to go or let the Lord go, guess what? You won't go any farther with the Lord than what you already are until you open up and allow Him to do His work. Then He talked about some people. He talked about the good ground. That's what we want to have, isn't it? Want to get rid of the stones. Want to get rid of the thistles. Want to get rid of those things that would hinder the Word of God to have an effect upon my soul. They hear and they receive it gladly and take the gospel to heart. And what happens then? They begin to bear fruit, he said. Of all different numbers, he talked about, what did he say here? Some 100-fold, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 30. They begin to bear fruit after they receive the gospel to heart. They begin to bear the fruits of faith. They begin to bear the fruits of obedience. Folks, those are foundations. We build our foundations before the flood comes, don't we? Those are the foundations of your successful walk with the Lord. The fruits of faith, obedience, and your fidelity. Your consecration to God Himself. I'd like to look at another scripture. I think it'd probably be my last one here. 2 Corinthians. How can we talk about the thorns without talking about Paul's thorns, I guess? 12 and 6. 2 Corinthians 12 and 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above measure. Paul was a great man for God. He talked about his revelation here, and how that he was caught up into the third heaven and so forth, saw things that wasn't even lawful for man to utter. Do you know, you might have to think about this one for a little bit. The more successful that you are for God, the deeper relationship that you have with Him will bring an onslaught of the enemy to try to destroy that relationship in any way, fashion that he can. No matter how hard we work at this thing, we got an enemy. We got an enemy. Paul was successful in his walk with the Lord. He did everything. I believe the man did everything that God was requiring him to do, and it got him in a lot of dangers, and it got him in a lot of problems, didn't it? But he said here, lest I should be exalted. Lord, help you and I. Why would we get the big head if God uses us to be a blessing to others? Because you and I don't have anything to bless God with unless He gave it to us first. Paul said, lest I be exalted. Think I'm really something here. Though man shouldn't think of himself being something when he's nothing, I believe the Scripture says. exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You got a thorn? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was, what he was talking about. I've heard several different comments about it. You probably have too. Scripture tells us that people looked at him and didn't feel like that he has his appearance was all that great, and he looked maybe a little funny, a little weak, a little frail. I don't know what it all was. I don't know if he had a speech impediment. I don't know what his issue was. But he had a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. So let me tell you right here, God's not going to take your thorns away. He's not going to take your thorns away. But I hope some way, somehow, I've addressed this morning the subject of how to deal with those thorns when they come. They're actually meant to drive us closer to God. To get down on your knees and draw closer to the Lord. That's what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. He said, For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times that it might depart. Three times. He had his thorns, folks. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We'll never, folks, I hope you never feel like that you're to the point where you can do it in your own strength. We're weak vessels. I read to you at the very beginning over in Genesis, from dust we were made, to dust we shall return. But we stand before an august and almighty God today, the creator of it all. And we submit to His will. Can we do that? To His purpose. If those thorns come like they did to Job, some of them, bunch of them in one day. But he kept his integrity with God. Keep your integrity. Stay where you are. Don't let the devil move you. He said, my strength, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. The more that I see how weak that I am, it doesn't mean that I destroy my self-esteem. It doesn't mean that I run myself down. But when I see how weak I am and how unable that I am to fight against the enemy of my soul without the help of the Lord, when I see that and understand that it's God. It's God that gives me the grace. It's God that gives me the strength. It's God that gives me the power. Then he said most gladly, when the Lord spoke to him, Lord, help us to take this too. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know if we're there yet, glorying in our infirmities. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Not for my sake, but for Christ's sake. You see, that's why we suffer. That's why we deal with the thorns. That's why life gets so hard and disappointing sometimes. And yet you and I are endeavoring to be faithful, all for Christ's sake. It's for Jesus' sake, isn't it? For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm thankful for that today. Let me tell you about another one who had a thorn in the flesh. And he sought the Lord three times. He sought God three times for his thorn. And that thorn was the bitter cup. It was the bitter cup, folks. And Jesus sought God three times that if it's possible. That's what Paul said he did. And after three times, the Lord said, that's enough. My grace is sufficient. Jesus went a little farther. And he sought the Lord three times that he wouldn't have to drink the bitter cup. But if it's necessary, Lord, I'll drink it. Saints, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you will go through. And it may be a bitter cup. We talk about bitter pill today. It may be a bitter cup to you. But I believe that we, as our example and as our Savior, that if we'll seek Him faithfully and be willing to stay right in the battle, Lord, don't remove me from the battle just a little closer to the cross. It's the cross, isn't it? The thorns. Folks, don't look at the thorns. Look at the cross. It's the cross why we live the way we live today. It's the cross that Jesus went to purchase our salvation, to purchase our faith, to purchase our souls for eternity in the presence of God Almighty forever and ever and ever. It's the cross. Lord, help us. If we haven't learned, Lord, help us to learn to trust God and rely on His grace. We sang the song this morning, Amazing Grace. Truly it is. It's amazing what it did for all those fellows back there, the patriarchs in the Old Testament that I read in their deepest distress. What it did for Paul in his life. We know he was successful to the end, don't we? I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, don't we want to be able to say that? We've got to learn to live with the thorns, folks. We do this for Christ's sake because of what Christ did for you and I. He drank the bitter cup. Was it easy for him? No. He was in the flesh too. He felt it too. He feels your sorrows. He knows your sadness. He knows your disappointments. He knows the things that the enemy means to destroy you with. That's why he said all things work together. Not just one thing coming against. But God takes all things and He puts them together for those that love God. That's the secret of our success, folks, loving God. Love Him with all of your heart. Love His Word. Embrace His Holy Spirit. Let it be prevalent in bearing out the fruit in your life to be the example that God has called us all to be, that we might glorify Him in everything that we do. Pray for me. Amen.